ओम ज्ञानति निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
Our topic is how to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Yesterday we were discussing about hearing about Krishna, particularly hearing classes, and about reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Reading is an extension of the hearing process. Another part of the hearing process is discussing with devotees philosophy. Prabhupada often stressed that he wanted his disciples to discuss the philosophy from different angles of vision. We can try and understand the philosophy very clearly. A proper philosophical understanding is the solid basis on which we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And if we don't understand the philosophy properly, it'll be very difficult for us to, we actually can't advance properly. There are various philosophical deviations which make us, even though we may be practicing Krishna consciousness, we don't practice in the right way. In spiritual understanding, the actual understanding is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are all His servants. Now, the great, well, directly opposed to this is the idea that Ishvaraham aham bhogi, I am the enjoyer of this material world. This misunderstanding may manifest as gross sense enjoyment. But on the philosophical level, the great enemy of Krishna conscious understanding is Mayavad. Do not accept that Krishna actually is the Supreme Personality of God. To maintain envy of Him and to think ourselves equal with Him. Now we may think, well, we're all devotees. We're not Mayavadis. Sorry to say, but we're all influenced by this. Directly or indirectly, this Mayavad philosophy is spread all over the world. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatta desha tarine. Prabhupada came to deliver the Western countries which are overrun with impersonalism and voidism. I know one of my godbrothers, he was already initiated about 8 months when he finally realized that when Prabhupada, he told that initiated about 8 months, he finally realized that when Prabhupada was stressing that Krishna is a person, that it wasn't simply allegorical, he really meant it. And we should be very careful to perfectly understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not be deviated by Mayavad. And we shouldn't think that, well, I'm safe from this. The Mayavad philosophy is so insidious. Do you know what that word means? Insidious?
Okay.
It means subtly poisonous. That even if a highly advanced devotee sympathetically listens to that and thinks, well, there might be something good here after all, then he will fall down. And sometimes devotees come to Krishna consciousness and they think, well, you know, Prabhupada's books are nice and ISKCON is nice, but there are so many different spiritual organizations and books. We can read them also. Those who have clearly understood the philosophy of Krishna consciousness understand that Prabhupada is presenting the absolute truth. And others, even though they may quote Bhagavad Gita, they may apparently even be devotees. Practically everyone is influenced by all the Indian gurus and Western gurus. They're all influenced by Mayavad. I know I live in India. I've been fighting this nonsense for more than 20 years. Where Hinduism is an expert. I mean, from one point of view, Hinduism is an expert way to apparently be absorbed in Shastra and religion and at the same time avoid Krishna. So although, of course, that statement shouldn't be taken out of context. We don't hate Hindus. We don't hate anybody. Culturally, those who are born into Hindu culture, they are in one sense closer to Krishna. But the point is we have to hear from self-realized souls. And almost all of the people purporting to be gurus and swamis and yogis, actually, they don't know what is the absolute truth. And even if they talk about Krishna, it's with the wrong understanding. Almost always. Even though they may have different, apparently scholarly methods of understanding Krishna, they do not lead us to surrender to Krishna. That is the gift that Prabhupada gave us. We find in this movement chanting, dancing, bliss. How does that bliss come about? From the spirit of surrender and service. Prabhupada writes that the spiritual master trains the disciple in a service attitude. So we have to understand this philosophy properly. Proper understanding of the philosophy is that we're meant to serve Krishna. So if we actually understand the philosophy, then the natural result is that we'll want to serve Krishna. Another kind of misunderstanding is to think, well, I'm just going to study the philosophy. Sometimes we've seen devotees who, they're very busy studying. And Prabhu, could you help wash the floor. No, I'm busy studying or chanting. I can't do any service now, I'm chanting. So we're chanting, Hare Krishna, dear Krishna, please engage me in your service. And we're studying the books, and the books say we should serve Krishna. So the natural conclusion would be of chanting and hearing is that we want to serve Krishna. So just becoming a so-called scholar or bookworm is not going to help us become Krishna conscious. Do you have this word bookworm in Russian?
Yes.
It's in Bengali also. Seems there are bookworms in every country of the world. So falsely scholarly attitude. Try to understand this clearly. Devotees must understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. For this, they must study Srila Prabhupada's books very carefully, attend the classes, and discuss with devotees. But in the name of study, we don't avoid service to Krishna. That means we're not very sincere. And unless we have this attitude of service to Krishna, by understanding the philosophy, we develop the attitude that we want to serve Krishna. And actually, by performing that service, the knowledge that we study becomes revealed within our hearts. The understanding this philosophy doesn't come simply from reading books, but the actual understanding is revealed within the heart of the sincere devotee by his service attitude. In this seminar, we've spoken about how we should chant nicely, how we should hear nicely. We should always remember that we are chanting, we are hearing, we have to make our effort, but ultimately, our advancement depends on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So that we sing, Dimbo Gyan Hride Prakashito, means that by the mercy of Guru, the spiritual knowledge is revealed within our heart. Yatsya deve parabhakti yatha deve tatha guru tatsyaite kate yatha hiartha prakashante mahatmanaha. The same word is used, prakashit, Dimbo Gyan Hride Prakashito, prakashante mahatmanaha. The knowledge is revealed within the hearts. Knowledge is revealed within the hearts of those who have firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Guru. So I was speaking about deviation. The main deviation, philosophical deviation, is this Mayavad. There are certain points of philosophy we should regularly discuss in our classes. There are certain main anarthas that we have to overcome. So one point is we should always discuss how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Mayavad should be kicked into the dustbin and burned. Now, this isn't only for preaching to Mayavadis outside, it's for preaching to Mayavadis here. This Mayavadi, the Mayavadi in all our hearts, so that we ourselves have developed firm, unflinching faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Now, another philosophical deviation is called Sahajya. Sahajya means those who take everything very easily. The goal of Krishna consciousness, or the ultimate limit of spiritual advancement, is to join Krishna in his rasa dance with the gopis. Before we can dance in rasa lila, we have to give up the dance of maya. That means we have to give up all thoughts of sense gratification. It means we have to work on cleaning our hearts. Now, someone may think that what is all this business of working hard, following sadhana, going on book distribution, discussing that we're not the body, it's so boring. Why don't we just become gopis? You can find some guru who will give you a blessing, and all of a sudden you can become a gopi. And then, you know, you don't have to follow all these horrible things like surrendering, all this talk about giving up sense gratification. Just become a gopi. So there are gurus who can promise you this. They speak mostly about Radha Krishna Lila. And you can listen to that and artificially think that, yes, now I have become a Mahabhagavat. And you can imitate in your mind thinking that you are a gopi or some other resident of Vrindavan. Many years ago, I remember one devotee in Mayapur, he went to some guru who revealed to him that his eternal form in Vrindavan was that of a peacock. So previously, it was his habit to chant his rounds in the temple room. But they noticed he didn't used to spend his morning in the temple room anymore. So one morning, the temple commander went to check in his room, what's he doing? And there he was, being a peacock, imitating the activities of a peacock, spreading his wings, and rather nonsensical. Nonsensical. Nonsense. So there are gurus who promise you this, just that I will look you in the eyes, and I will communicate to you the highest realizations. Actually, this is all cheating, because you can't judge. You can't just suddenly jump into Rasalila. Here I am. You have to be admitted after the process of purification. You have to show that you're completely non-envious of Krishna and you have no other interest but to serve him. It's not such an easy thing, self-realizing, to become a completely pure devotee. Not such an easy thing. So we see that some gurus, they come and they promise all these things and they immediately initiate people. Now you're initiated. The first time they see people. So people, they become, this is wonderful, you know. I got the mercy of a Mahabhagavat gopi devotee. And then the guru moves on and the person is left with all this talk of gopi lila. What he's practically left with is his own mind, which is full of nonsense. And no practical process of sadhana to uplift him step by step. So for all the big, big talk, high level realization, the person is left down at this level where he hasn't got a clue how to control his mind or sense. And generally these people are quite critical of ISKCON also. They say, oh, you're just all neophytes. You're always discussing Bhagavad Gita as if Bhagavad Gita was something horrible. You don't discuss Gopi Leela. So it's very easy to say you're neophyte. Well, yes, maybe we are neophytes. We don't mind admitting that we're trying to become uplifted. But that doesn't mean that you're advanced simply because you talk about these subjects. Srila Prabhupada was the greatest Mahabhagavat. He was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He taught Krishna consciousness as we need to understand it. So we should understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness as it is heard in disciplic succession through Srila Prabhupada. There may be many great scholars who think that they have a more deep realizations than Prabhupada. They're all nonsense. Prabhupada was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to preach Krishna consciousness. No one else of his generation had the slightest clue how to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. Not only did they not have a clue how to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, none of them even slightly thought about it. They weren't even thinking about it. But practically speaking, we see that the devotees in ISKCON are struggling hard to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. And naturally we have problems in our society. It's not an ordinary thing to declare Maya, war on Maya, and to try to bring thousands and thousands of people into the practice of Krishna consciousness. And yes, there are social problems. We're trying to bring the Vedic culture into an uncultured world. So it's very easy to criticize ISKCON and say ISKCON's useless. But what work ISKCON is doing, for all anyone may criticize, no organization is doing what ISKCON is doing for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. No devotees sacrifice as the ISKCON devotees do for the sake of preaching. When we come to Russia here and we see the devotees going through so many austerities to practice and preach Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada must be so much pleased with you. Prabhupada himself went through so many austerities to spread Krishna consciousness. And you have taken up that same move. So don't give that up. Don't be cheated by talks of ephemeral, superficial advancement. This comes from surrender, the attitude of giving ourselves to Krishna. See, the Sahajiyas attempt, it's actually an attempt to enjoy Krishna instead of serving Krishna. You see, instead of thinking how I should become purified and then offer myself in service to Krishna, they are thinking, why should I bother to become purified? Anyway, I'll offer my sloppy, stool-like self to Krishna as I am now. Why should I work hard to purify my heart? Let me enjoy Gopi Leela now. You see the attitude? I will enjoy being with Krishna. So it's not actually devotional. It's only pseudo-devotion. But actually, you're locked out. You won't be allowed into that Gopi Leela. So actually, ultimately they fall down because they want to enjoy. And these so-called people on such a high level of realization, they talk 10% Gopi Leela and 90% Vaishnava Puran. They'll always be criticized. Oh, you saw this happen in ISKCON, that happened in ISKCON. And even the ISKCON devotees do so many wonderful things. It was like recently this temple was opened in Delhi. It was the effort of so much dedicated service by so many devotees. And these people say, oh, it's all external. They don't recognize that service. But just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended, don't mix with Mayavadis. So don't mix with people who, even though they may appear like devotees, they're envious of them. There are another group of people, they are called Ritvikvadis. Maybe you've heard of them. And they say, well, we have our understanding of the parampara. And we say we have a philosophical difference with the system going on in ISKCON. But practically speaking, we see that anyone who follows that, they don't do any service in Krishna consciousness. And they just become absolutely critical of the devotee, totally cynical. And they don't recognize that any devotees in this movement could even be sincere. So I don't know how much these things have reached Russia, but there are different anti-devotional ideas floating around the world. We should be very careful to protect our devotional service from those who want to destroy it. Be simple, be pure, be chaste. Stick to this process of Krishna consciousness. Don't invent any strange philosophy. Just try to understand it as Srila Prabhupada has taught us and is still being taught in this movement today. And you will be happy and you'll make spiritual advancement. Be very careful of those who would like to destroy your spiritual progress because they themselves are envious. So our subject today is proper philosophical understanding. We should be very serious to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness as it is. We should try to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness as we have heard it from Srila Prabhupada and apply that in our lives without being deviated. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? For devotees who are absorbed in lust, who are still afflicted by lust, anger, greed, all these things, so much discussion of Radha Krishna Lila is not required. What are we going to understand? We can read Krishna book. Of course, in Krishna book, there are so many other chapters also. Prabhupada said that the dealings of Krishna with the Pandavas are just as important as the dealing with the Gopis. So in our stage of advancement, it is far more appropriate for us to discuss the level that we are on so that we can come up to the next level. That is how to control our mind and senses, understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage in his service. At our level of advancement, it is superficial to go on discussing the pastimes of Radha Krishna and the Gopis. You see how Srila Prabhupada discussed and taught his disciples. It's just like, you see, children, they just started studying chemistry at school. They just started studying science at school. And they want to discuss relativity theory, general theory of relativity, special relativity. So they might be aware of the terms and that there are such theories. But for them to discuss in detail is superfluous because they haven't understood the basic concept. Preach to everyone. We should especially preach to those who are interested to hear. When we go to preach in public, we are often challenged by Mayavadi. Just the other morning in class in Begovaya, at the end, someone brought up some Mayavadi, some outsider brought up some Mayavadi idea. So if we go to preach, we're definitely going to meet Mayavadi. So we should know how to defeat them. Discussion of early morning chanting, that we've already covered extensively. When Lord Chaitanya said there are no rules, he said, what is that? Kayati shuite jato tata nam loe, desha kala niyam nahi sarva siddhi hoi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, even when you're eating, even when you lie down to go to sleep, in any circumstances, if you chant the holy names, you can achieve all perfection. But at the same time, that's true, that chanting in any circumstance can give perfection. But we are not perfect enough to chant in such a way that our chanting is automatically perfect. Our chanting is imperfect, therefore we have to follow rules and regulations to come up to the perfectional level. If you want to quote no rules for chanting, then why follow the 16 rounds rule? That's a rule. No eating meat, that's also a rule. Why don't you eat meat and chant at the same time? These things have to be understood in context. And if you're so damn clever, then why is it that Prabhupada said to chant early in the morning? Have you become more clever than Prabhupada? You rascal, you want to sleep all morning, and therefore you quote high philosophy.
In Shastra, it is forbidden to chant like Ramo, Ram, Hore, and Yuja.
Which Shastra?
You can find. You can find, because if you like, I can find it.
All right, you find and bring the question. If you're going to quote Shastra, and I ask you, you have to tell the Shastra. So if you can't, we'll leave it at that for now. Shastra says to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram. So we should do that. Questions are actually meant for philosophical elucidation. It's not meant for making jokes. Silly questions are also, what's the use? We should also know how to ask questions. Faith in Guru doesn't appear. It's not that just suddenly, boom, it's like a thunderbolt that hits you. It's something that's developed by association, by hearing and by service. Some people ask questions, so so deep. Only Lord Brahma can answer them. Even he would have to meditate for 1,000 years to understand what the question is.
Yes,
if you're so much confused, it's better to chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes people are so confused, they want to ask something, but they're not even sure what they want to ask. So they try to ask a question, but their whole way of thinking is so confused, they can't even write a clear question. So don't mind, just go and chant. If a person chants 16 rounds of his Vangladi but doesn't follow all the regulated principles, will he make progress? In this regard, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has told a story. This is a story from Bengal. Bengal is a land of many rivers. So often if people go from one place to another, they go by boat. And especially in the hot season, they go at night when it's cool. So once a group of people were going from one village to another to attend a marriage ceremony. So they got in the boat just after the sun went down, and the boatman started rowing the boat. Very soon they all fell asleep. When they woke up, they asked the boatman, "How long will it be till we reach our destination?" He said, "Well, it should be very soon because I've been rowing all night and it's almost time for sunrise." So when the sun came up, they found they were still in the same village. The boatman had been rowing all night, but he had failed to take up the rope which was tying the boat to the shore. So you can work hard, but if you're still attached, you're strongly attached to sense gratification, then how are you going to make progress? You see, when someone first comes to Krishna consciousness, we ask them to chant. Sometimes I go to a place and I meet someone, and they're interested in Krishna consciousness, and I ask them, "Can you start chanting?" And they say yes. And I may go after a few months and I ask them, "How is your spiritual advancement now?" And they may say, "Well, now I'm chanting 2 rounds and I gave up meat and I gave up alcohol, but I'm still drinking tea." So I tell them, "That's very good. You're making progress. Now try to go on and do more." But if I meet an initiated devotee and say, "How is your spiritual life?" They say, "Well, I'm chanting 2 rounds and I'm drinking tea." They'll say, "What happened to you?" If you're coming from the down position and you start chanting, that means you're coming up. But you have to continue coming up. And if you're actually sincere and serious, then by taking to this process of chanting, then certainly you will want to give up all sinful activity. Now, if we're going to be very frank, we don't talk about this very much. Maybe we should more. It's not a very palatable subject. But sometimes devotees in the Grihastha ashram have problems with one of the principles, particularly with one of the principles. So will you make advancement? Very slow, if at all. Don't give up chanting, but we should understand the reality. Proper spiritual advancement comes from chanting 16 rounds and following 4 regulated principles. It's a heavy thing, that's true. Krishna consciousness is very heavy. Actually, that question, you know, like the householders, often the householders have... Not often. Householders have more difficulties. Brahmachari ashram is very simple. No real problem. Brahmachari may think he has problems, but he doesn't know what problems are. Grihasthas, they know what problems are. The brahmachari life is very simple. Just chant Hare Krishna and serve Guru and prepare to go back to Godhead. So brahmachari shouldn't have many problems. If he's always thinking, "Oh, there's so many problems," he's in the wrong ashram. He should go to the ashram of problems. Grihastha ashram is an ashram where you have problems. So you're working through the problems. So in many ways, there are many difficulties for Grihasthas. Their economic and social involvement, it's often difficult to balance that with Krishna consciousness, especially in the modern world. So we're not saying this to condemn the householders. We're very proud of all the householders in Krishna consciousness who are demonstrating to the world a better way of living. But it's the fact that the Grihastha ashram has its own particular problems. So in traditional Varnashram society, the younger Grihasthas are guided by the older Grihasthas in the joint family system. Those of you who read English can read about it in this new book I made. Just to show that it's not only Grihasthas that have problems, everyone has problems. And actually nowadays the sannyasis have more problems than anyone because they've got everyone else's problems. Everyone comes. So sannyasi gives the ultimate solution to all problems. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. It's not a slogan, it's a fact. Pardon. "Oh, but I have this problem, that problem." Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
This is the only solution. Of course, while we're living in this world, there may be so many adjustments. So many problems come and go. The holy name of Krishna is our eternal shelter. Just that, I mean, If we can just meditate on this, the holy name of Krishna is our only shelter. We just have faith in that. And whatever happens, we can always be saved. Whatever anyone does to us, people can torture us, blaspheme us, take away all our money. So many bad things people can do to us. Even the people we had faith in, they cheat us. But whatever happens in this world, still have the holy name. You can always chant. Krishna is always there to help you. So we should have faith in Krishna. It's very difficult to give advice about specific situations without knowing all the details. But often in these situations, we can follow Mahatma Gandhi's policy. Non-violent, non-cooperation. In other words, we don't fight with our family members, but we don't do what they say either. In other words, they may say, oh, that Hare Krishna chanting, we just follow it. What's the use to fight? But anyway, go on chanting. And they'll say, you should stop that chanting. You can go like this. This will defeat them. They don't know what to do. For some time, they may become more frustrated and more blasphemous. But if you just make a policy to tolerate whatever they do or say and go on with your chanting, ultimately they will be defeated. This was Prahlad Maharaj's policy. Yeah, let's take written questions. That you have to see. It's different in different cases. Some people, they can come up to 16 rounds immediately. Generally, we find that if people are gradually encouraged, they come up. Go on encouraging. That, oh, you're chanting, how nice. And they themselves will feel it is nice. And they will want to chant more. So we don't have to force them. Krishna consciousness itself is blissful. As much as possible, we should encourage all the devotees. Of course, there has to be some kind of guidance because we always tend to do things wrong. At least in my preaching, I'm finding that if someone's beginning to chant, encourage them to come up. Encourage. Just like when the young child starts to walk and falls down, walks 2-3 steps, falls down. And the mother says, oh, how nice, my child is beginning to walk, and helps them. Doesn't chastise the child, oh, you rascal, you can't walk properly. Why are you always falling over? You have to have some patience. Same thing, the child is passing stool all over the mother's body. So the mother knows that it's a baby, so gradually has to be trained. If the child is 20 years old and is still passing stool over the body, there's something wrong. But in the beginning stages, we have to be very tolerant and encouraging. Practically little children, they're just like animals. They can't, you know, they slobber, they pass stool, they scream, they have no consideration for anything. I won't go into that.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, all the saliva coming out of their mouth. But if there's any little good thing, the child is going, bleh, 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 bleh. So they're going, bleh, bleh, bleh. Papa, Papa, he said, Papa, oh, all right. Well. See, I'm in a male body, you see. It's called male chauvinism. Mama?
Yes.
Okay, Mama.
So
I say, Mama. Oh, I said, Mama, smile. The baby says, oh, I did something right. Okay. So anything right they do, you encourage them, even though they're doing everything all wrong. Same way, people are newly coming to Krishna consciousness. They do everything wrong. You know, they walk up to the guru and say, hey, Prabhu, you're not chanting your rounds properly. You know, they're eating with their left hand. And start singing some pop songs in the middle of the kirtan or something. There's so many crazy things. In the beginning, we have to be very tolerant. Otherwise, we won't make any devotees. It's very good to be strict, but sometimes we see devotees who are very, very strict. It's like they're very good for their own spiritual advancement, but they can't make any new devotees. So we should be strict with ourselves, but especially with newer devotees, we should be very, very liberal to help them come up. Gradually speaking, we see that Prabhupada, he was very strong in his preaching. We have to be strong in our preaching, otherwise we'll just become all mishmash, nonsense, wishy-washy, sentimental, watered down. Just, you know, all bhav, but no substance. So it's required to be strong in our principle. But at the same time, in his personal dealings with the devotees and with everybody, Prabhupada is very kind and considerate. We should be as soft as a rose and hard as a thunderbolt. But if we're not very expert in throwing thunderbolts, then we might cause disaster. So better to cultivate being soft as a rose. Hare Krishna.